I don't exactly know a time frame, but let's begin, then we'll see. Parshas Truma obviously begins with the collection of treasure to build the Mishkan. Taber al bnei Yisrael ve'ikhu li truma. Speak to the people of Klal Yisrael, and they should take for me a truma. Right? They should take a donation. They should donate their money. Oh. The pasuk in the Navi in Chagai says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Li haketef veli hazav nehum Hashem tzavakos. I own all the gold in the world. I own all the silver. It's actually I own all the silver in the world. I own all the gold in the world, says God. So the Sfas Emes says that's a little bit odd. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? I have all the gold. I have all the silver. What kind of a pompous statement is that? What exactly is he trying to accomplish? And also, what is he trying to be mechadish? What's he trying to inform us? Of course, he does. And it's like if Bill Gates came out and said, "I own 50% of Microsoft." Shkoya. Okay. You know what are you trying to communicate to us by saying, "I have the silver. I have the gold"? So the Sfas Emes interprets beautifully. The Sfas Emes Tiger Rebbe says he wasn't saying I own the silver, I own the gold. He was saying Li Hakesef, for me dedicate your silver. Li Hazav, for me dedicate your Zav. He wasn't saying that I own it, but he was saying the gold and silver that is ostensibly in your hand, right? That which you have, that which you've been granted, please make sure that you use it in a way that is befitting, designated towards higher purposes for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which of course relates to another point in this pasuk. The pasuk that begins, the second pasuk of the parsha says, I don't know if you want to call this board number 2 or board number 1b. Ve'yikhu li truma. Take for me a truma. So what does that mean, take for me a truma? It should be, naturally, give a truma. Right, it should be the bear of Israel v'yitnu li truma. Why does it say v'yikhu li truma? So the Beis Halevi explains that the notion of a hero v'yikhu li truma is that when you're true to this mission of li hakesef and li hazav, when you dedicate your physical living to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The money that you have, but also the physical existence that you live, when you dedicate that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're actually taking for yourself. The Beis Halevi dramatically points out that when you go Achama Vesim Shana to your grave, you will not be taking any gold and silver with you. The only thing that you'll be taking with you at the pearly gates is your Maisim Tovim and Maisim Mitzvahs that you have with you. So that when you're actually doing these Maisim Tzedakah, you're taking for yourself. You're taking for yourself Olam Haba. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, V'yikhu li truma. There's a cute joke that people, rabbis like to say in this week's Parsha regarding this. V'yikhu li truma. We'll just throw it in because why not? If you want some rabbinic humor from Asharim that always goes over big. Irvin and his friend John were sailing in their boat, little fishing boat. Beautiful day, and suddenly it turns stormy, and strong winds come, and the boat is tilted from side to side to side, flips over. Right? The boat flips over, and John and Irving are in the water. John is frantically searching, Irving! Irving! He's trying to, but to no avail. Irving won't respond, and he's forced to leave him there. Swim back to shore. Swims back to shore and he sees Irving's wife and he says to her, "I'm so sorry, there was nothing I could do." She's like, "I understand, there was nothing you can do. How could that be?" He's like, "I'm telling you, I said, Irving, give me your hand. Irving, give me your hand," and nothing. He says, "Of course nothing. Irving never gives anything to anyone. You should have said, take my hand." Right. And then he would have, right? So that's sometimes we're caught in that attitude also of, I won't give. So over here the Torah is encouraging us and it's telling us it's not a give, it's actually a take. Although you might not realize it, you are taking for yourself. I know you like it, you're saying, but I know that deep down inside you guys are laughing.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's Mishnechnas Adam, a little bit of levity and jokes to break the air. Okay. Number two. Yeah, well, again, we'll do one of these 2/3s. Okay. It's interesting to note that the entire list of donations is brought with the Vav HaChibur. Zahav, V'chesef, Unchoshet, Utchelet, V'argaman, V'tolat, Shani, V'sheshizim, V'orot Eilim, V'orot Echashim, V'atzei Shitim. The entire list, from where it started to list it in Pasuk Gimel with the Zahav, is all connected. Zahav, V'chesef, Unchoshet, Utchelet, V'argaman, V'tolat, etc., as we said before. But then, suddenly it comes, Shemen Lama'or. Besamim leshemen hamishkan. Pasuk Vav, there's no longer a Vav HaChibur. Avnei Shoam. How come there's no Vav HaChibur over there? So, people explain it based on the following. The Pasuk in way back at the very end of Sefer Shmos, where it describes how the donations for the Mikdash took place. So it says, Klal Yisrael brought X, Y, and Z. And then it says, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, the Hanseim Evius Avnei Shoam. The Nesiim brought the Avnei Shoam, the Avnei Miluim, the Bosim, the Shemen, etc. So the Nesiim is very interesting to note over here. Nesiim we always translate as, who are the Nesiim? The leaders of the people. However, Nesi is also the word for a cloud.
What was it?
This is in the end of Sefer Shmos and Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chav Zayin HaNesiim. We say in Pesukei de Zimra, Nesiim Mikzei Haaretz. Right, he brings the clouds from the tips of the earth. The pasuk initially also says Nesim veruach v'geshem, clouds and wind and rain. And Targum Yonasan over there explains that it wasn't actually the leaders, if you will, but it was clouds. Meaning Hakadosh Baruch Hu, with the man, when he would bring the Jewish people man, he would also bring them gold, silver. It's not gold and silver, I'm sorry. These Avnei Shoam and Avnei Milum, these beautiful precious stones would rain down. Diamonds would rain down with the man as well. So that's why, according to some, there is no Vav HaChibur over here. Because, up until now, who was it that brought the donations? Klal Yisrael. It was the Zahav that they brought from Mitzrayim. It was the Chesed from Mitzrayim. It was the Nechoshes from Mitzrayim. Everything that they had made a Kenyan on. But these, the Shemen and the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Milum, the precious stones, were actually brought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Vort, but that Vort helps us, gives us another Vort, and it helps to explain an interesting phenomenon. What's the phenomenon? The Orach Haim asks, this list seems to go from the most precious to the least precious. Zahav, Chesed, right, gold, silver, nechoshet, bronze, tcheles ve'argaman, and then these wool that was dyed with tcheles and argaman, etc. From the most precious to the least precious. And suddenly, at the end, is avnei shom and avnei milum. But anyone that knows anything about jewelry and fine minerals, or rare minerals, knows that diamonds and rubies are worth more than gold and silver. So why is it that was not mentioned at the beginning? Why was that not mentioned at the beginning? So the Orach Haim explains, and this pasuk right here, the Orach Haim explains in our parsha, not way back when, and not in Perek Chafei. The Orach Haim explains that perhaps the reason why it is mentioned last, because as far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu was concerned, it was not the most precious. Why was it not the most precious? Because it came with ease. Right? They didn't do anything for that. They didn't have to work for that gold. They didn't have to work for that silver. Unlike the stuff they took from Mitzrayim, they had to put themselves in a position, in that uncomfortable position of asking the Mitzrayim, can I have this, can I have that? But over here, it basically landed on their doorstep. Right? And because there was no yegiya, below Torah, below yegiya, below chisron kis, it was never their own money. It was just up from the ground, here, I'll pick this up and I'll take it to the Mishkan. It wasn't like I'm going to my house and I'm taking the gold and silver out and I'm giving it. And since it did not come without any exertion, without any toil, therefore it was not viewed as precious in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is of course a lesson for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the effort that we exert. The mission of us says, L'fum tzara agra. The sechar that we get is rationed based on the amount of tza'ar, based on the amount of toil, based on the amount of suffering, and based on the amount of sacrifice that we're willing to put into any endeavor that we undertake. And there's a story of Simon brings this down in the Sefer, but it's a well-known story that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, who was a huge Talmud Chacham, huge, and he was obviously, he battled nothing. He had a full account of what he did with every moment of his life. And as such, naturally, he was pervy to a higher living on a higher plane than we do. And as such, Malachim would come visit him. Right? It was said that one time in a dream, a Malach came to him and he said, listen, I want to teach you, I want to give you some secrets of Torah, I want to give you the upper realms of Torah. And the Gra said, no, absolutely not. Anything that I cannot gain by my toil, anything that I cannot work towards, I don't want it. It's not worth it. I only want that which I work with. The Gemara in Pesachim says that Achamav Esrim Shana, after 120 years, you get to Shemayim, and it says, Ashre Mishi Yegiya Lekan V'Talmudo Beyado. He's holding his Talmud, his learning, in his hand. So people ask, what does that mean? You don't hold your learning in your hand. You should be holding your learning in your head. What does it mean, Talmud Beyado? And that's exactly the point. We don't care about how much you retained. We care about how much you exerted yourself, how much you worked with your hand in order to do it. So that's why it is last on the list, because it is less precious. Okay, so why is it without the Vava Chibur? Because it was brought by God. Board number two. Board number three. Why is it last on the list? Because it was brought by God and there was no effort. There is one more pshat that Or HaChaim gives in why it is last on the list. And that is the following. The Or HaChaim says that who brought the Avnei Sham and Avnei Milum? Nesim. And this time Nesim means Nesim, the leaders. But how did the leaders bring it? Right. So the leaders said like this. The leaders said, listen, let the people bring whatever they want to bring. And what's missing at the end, we'll make up. We'll bring whatever is lacking in the end. And at the end, right, the Jewish people had brought so much. There was very little. All they brought was the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Milum. But because they said we'll bring it at the end, so that's why it is brought last over here. Some people ask, well, I understand, what's the problem? Can you imagine if you had a donor who said, listen, go out, collect whatever you can, and whatever you're missing at the end, I'll make it up. What's so bad about the Nesim saying we'll bring it at the end? So the answer is, did the Baalim Musar want to bring? The answer is the following. Sure, it's nice to know that you've covered the deficit at the end of the day. However, there was a real danger over here. The leader of the people said, we'll bring at the end. And if the leader of the people say, we'll bring at the end, it's possible that people will look to them as the example, and they'll look and they'll say, well, they're not bringing. Why should I bring? And then the beginning would end up being slow. Slow beginnings are not good when it comes to Avodas Hashem. When it comes to our Avodas Hashem, right, the same way we left Egypt bechipazon, with a certain speed, with a certain tenacity. Avodas Hashem has to have that same speed and the same tenacity, because if you go in lax, if you go in with meandering in, if you will, you won't be able to sustain it. But if you go in with a healthy, positive attitude, energized, jumping in, that's when you'll do your best, right? Mashallah, Madavar Doma, if you're in if you're playing a big sports event, a big sports game, so you never see the players just casually walking, slowly strolling onto the court. What they do is they play loud music, fast, upbeat music. The players jump up and down. It's called warm-up music or psych-up music. The players jump up and down, and they do the same thing for the guy. Why do they do that? Because they know that the players will perform better when they go in psyched up and with a certain amount of tenacity. As opposed to just, whatever, we'll wait till the fourth quarter and then we'll start playing. That's very dangerous. And therefore, it was mentioned last on the list. Because Avodas Hashem has to be Bechi Pazon, with a certain amount of gracious. Okay. We're still in these psukim. We can spend months. There's so many limudim on each one of these psukim. Again, on this list, there is a certain disparity that comes through on the list. The list starts out with Zahav, Achesef, Unuchoshet, Tcheles, Ve'argaman, Ve'telat, Shani, Ve'shesh, Ve'izim, as we've said before. The gold, the silver, the wool, the leather, the trees, the atzei shitim, and then it says shemen lamaor, oil in order to make it lit, besamim in order to right l'shemen amishcha, and for the ktoras asamim, besamim for the oil, the anointing oil, and besamim for the ktoras, for the incense. This lichaora is different. There is a disparity because everything else was talking about the physical structure of the Mikdash. The Zahav was to build things. The Kesef was to build things. The hides were part of the structure. The trees were part of the structure. The oil wasn't part of the structure. The Besamim, the incense, wasn't part of the structure. So why is it on this list? There's a certain disparity. So this question was raised by the Baalei Tosfos Das Zakenim. In these kumashim, in the Mikros Gedolah Samor, it's part of the back of your kumashim. So they mention it, and they give a beautiful explanation. What do the Baalei HaTosfos say? The Baalei HaTosfos say that when you're building a home, the home itself is only step one. There has to be a certain ambiance that you create in your home as well. Meaning you can have the most beautiful structure, edifice in the world, right? And you'll invite the king to come in there. But if there's a certain stench, the king wouldn't walk in. I'm not walking in there. But it's a beautiful building, but it stinks. Or it's pitch black. Right? I'm not walking in there. I'm a king. I have... Right, the ambiance is an important part of the physical structure as well. You can't just expect the physical structure to be it, and that's it. And then the ambiance can be whatever it is. We believe that it goes beyond the structure, it goes to what's inside of the structure as well. And that's, of course, a lesson for us in our homes. We can make beautiful homes, but the real definition of beautiful homes is not having a 3-car garage, and it's not having a long gated driveway, and it's not having a swimming pool in the backyard or a tennis court. It could be all of those things as well, but those are not the defining factor. If the ambiance is not good, if the atmosphere that pervades in our home is not inviting to other people, that is, it's not worthwhile. Part of the structure, if you will, is even this Shemen Lama'or. Because if you don't have the right ambiance, if the atmosphere is wrong, then it undermines and compromises the entire structure. Alrighty, next. A few years ago, well, that's really a few years already, more than a few years ago, 14 years ago, my friend got engaged. And at the engagement party, Rav Avidan, who was then the Rosh Hashiva of Shalvim, he happened to have been in the States at the time, he gave the following word. I guess they must have gotten engaged. Parsis Truma. Yeah, they did. Yeah. They had a very nice party in Motzei Shabbos, Parsis Truma, and Rav Avidan got up to speak. And he said the following. We find over here that on top of the Arum sat Kruvim. Right? How do they call it in English? Caribs? Cherubs? The Kruvim were on top of the Arum. Right, and Perek Chafei Pasuk Yitches Vasizo Shnei Kruvim Zahav. two kruvim on top of the kaporis, on top of the covering. Right? And Rashi explains over here, what is a kruv? What does it look like? Dmut partsuf tinok. It's the face of a baby. However, this is not the first time in Chumash pointed out Rav Avidan that we have kruvim. We already had kruvim in Parshas Bereishis. When did we have kruvim in Parshas Bereishis? After Adam Arishon was asked to leave Gan Eden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells it, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put kruvim to guard the path to Gan Eden. Presumably so that no one will be able to re-enter. And there Rashi explains, what are kruvim? Malachei chabala. Angels or agents of destruction. So that's very odd, because here what Rashi describes kruvim as baby, innocent faces. Right? Innocent little beings. And over there, they're agents of destruction. So how can that be? So, explained Rav Avidan that the difference is what anchors the kruvim. Over here, the kruvim are on top of the aron, holding the aseret adibros, holding the Torah. Over there, in Pleyoshes Bereishis, the kruvim were on top of the earth. If a person has as his root and foundation nothing but nothing, if he's not grounded in anything worthwhile, in any endeavor, it's just dirt, right? If you want to say he's only concerned with his physical existence, that is a recipe for destruction. But if the anchor underneath him, if his anchor is Torah, then there's baby faces. Then you have innocence. Then you have the innocence and the purity, is the word I'm looking for, of babies. Babies have a certain purity to them. I remember just a week ago, 3 weeks ago, my wife was a Kevin Rachel, and the Simcha Achbam was there. I don't know if you guys know the Simcha Achbam. He's a Chevron, right? He has the distinction, I believe, at the time at least, to be the only person that made Aliyah straight from the States to Chevron. Anyway, Rav Simcha Achbam looks, he was talking to my father-in-law. My father-in-law says, "Oh yeah, my daughter's a..." Your daughter's in the car with our newborn baby. He runs to the car and he says, Barbara, I have to see the Shekhinah. And he opens the back door and he stares at the baby. Right? There's a certain innocence and purity that babies that is divine. So that's what it is, but only if it's resting upon Torah. Okay, next. Famous idea, but it should be repeated just in case we've never heard it, which is possible. There are many things that people tell me are famous and yet I've never heard them. This one happens to be that I heard. Pasuk, I'm going back to Pasuk. Chafei, Pasuk Ches, Va'asuli Migdash, they should make for me a Migdash, Ve'shachanti Betocham, and I shall dwell inside of them. Grammatically speaking, it should have been Ve'asuli Migdash, they shall make for me this v'shakanti betocho, and I will dwell inside of that mikdash. But it's v'shakanti betocham. It doesn't say that. It says that I shall dwell inside of them. So this, of course, is the notion that the place where you really make a mikdash, right, is in your heart. Make a mikdash. Have a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live in your heart, and sure enough, V'shachanti betocham, sure enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell inside of you. But if you're not interested in making room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside your life, He has no interest either. He will not dwell inside of you. And that is also how we can get to the next pasuk where it says, V'chein ta'asu. This is how you should do it. Rashi says, L'doros, in all generations. So what does it mean? How can it be in all generations? In this generation, it doesn't yet seem like we're making a mikdash. So the answer is, of course we are. We're making the mikdash in our hearts. The physical structure is significant, but most significant is our hearts. If our hearts have a dwelling place for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's shochen betocham, and we can do that in every generation. Okay. Is anyone else? All right, we'll give one more. One more on the general structure of the parsha. This one comes from the Kli Yakar. Aver HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh on the Mishkan. The entire parsha deals with commandment to build the Mishkan. Parsha's Truma, Parsha's Tetzaveh. And then, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu is given the commandment to build the Mishkan, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions, by the way, you should not do it on Shabbos. All the way in after the tzibui in Parshas Kisisa in Perek Lamed Aleph, it says Ushmartem Isha Shabbat Kikodeshi Lachem Sheshes Yamim, etc. Only at the end, at the very end of all the tzibuim, it says, listen, remember Shabbos also, meaning don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. However, when Moshe, right, when in Parshas Vayakel, when Moshe gathers everyone, Vayakel Moshe et kol hadas bnei Yisrael, and he tells them, okay, fellows, it's time to build the Mishkan. How does he do it? Before he even mentions the Mishkan, he says like the following. He says, listen, this is what God commanded. Sheshes yamim ta'avod, 6 days a week you shall work, then you'll have Shabbos. And then he says, okay, listen, I want you to take a truma and build the Mishkan. So Hashem first says, take the truma, build the Mishkan, and then he says, and by the way, don't do it on Shabbos. Moshe comes along, when he presents it, he says, listen, here's the Shabbos law, and when it's not Shabbos, I want you to build the Mishkan. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, first Mishkan, and then Shabbos, but Moshe says Shabbos, and then Mishkan? So there's a principle called Ani LeDodi VeDodi Li. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. So explains the Kli Yakar the following. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much loves Klal Yisrael. We very much love Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves Klal Yisrael, he says, build a Mishkan. Build a Mishkan. The fact that you will have a Mishkan, and later in generations of Beis HaMikdash, shows my affinity for you, shows that you are the chosen people, it shows that you are the greatest. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. You are singular and unique. That's what I want from you. I want to show everyone my affection from you. What does Shabbos represent on the other hand? Shabbos represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. That for 6 days He created the world and then He rested. So when Moshe tells us that it's time to build the Mishkan, he says, first let's show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Be aware HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world. We always praise God, and God always praises us. The Gemara in Bracha says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin and we wear tefillin. What does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God is one. He's the greatest. What does it say in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? Miki Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. The Jewish people are the greatest. God praises us, we praise God. So again, in the Mishkan, God wants to praise us. He says, build the Mishkan. It's the greatest praise that you guys will have. And then after we're okay, then also worry about me. But the Jewish people say, no, Shabbos, we want the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then afterwards, we'll also take the little praise. That's Ani LeDodi VeDodi Li. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. And that's why the structure is changed between when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tzibui of the Mishkan as opposed to when Moshe gives it to the Jewish people. Okay, anyone who's going to Mash Arim should have a great Shabbos. Anyone who's not going to Mash Arim should also have a great Shabbos. We should all just have a good Shabbos. Good Shabbos to Benny and anyone else who's listening. Well,